Praise the Lord. And man, when you come into the courts with praise, you got to say that. Can we say it one more time? Loud and proud, like you love Jesus. Ready? One, two, three. Hallelujah! All right. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the annual Community Thanksgiving service. And I'm excited that we are coming together as a community to give thanks to the Lord. He is worthy of all praise and worthy of all thanksgiving. I want to thank Pastor Gary Swearingen and our family here at Nixon Nazarene for opening their house to us. And we're just going to have a wonderful time of worship. All right, let's pray real fast. Only Father God, we give you praise. And Lord, we come. We come to you because you are worthy of it all. And Lord, we set aside this time each year to think about all the many blessings. And so, God, we say thank you, and we love you, and we're going to praise your name, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
blessed be your name. The land that is plentiful, whose streams of abundance flow, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. Suffering, for there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. sustainer, deliverer, our comfort and joy. Throughout the ages, you've been our shelter, our peace in the midst of the storm. We will remember the works of your hands. We will stop.
Up just a little early. I probably worried some of you. Probably thought I was going to sing. Amen. But that's great, wasn't it? That was great. Would you stand with me as we have prayer? Appreciate you being here tonight. We're here to worship the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus, your precious Son. We thank you for the privilege, the blood-bought privilege, to come to the very throne of God. We don't come arrogantly, but we come with confidence on the basis of Jesus, who you are, and what you did at Calvary in our behalf. So we come, Jesus, in your name. And you are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. We have so many blessings to be thankful for. We thank you for this land in which we live. And what a privilege it is to be able to live in the United States and to be free to worship just like this tonight. We thank you for our health. We thank you for every blessing that you have poured out upon us. We're so grateful. We thank you for this time together as we come together as a community. And Lord, you have blessed our community in so many wonderful ways. And we just want to thank you for having your hand upon us. And we seek your face now and pray that God, that your hand will continue to be upon us, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, most of all, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. And Lord, when we were singing the song just a few moments ago, and it spoke about, Lord, when we called upon you for salvation. And Lord, I remember that moment and how sweet that moment is. And Lord, you have never forsaken me. You have never left me. You've always been with me. Lord, I don't know what people do without you and how they get by. And Lord, if we could just put you in their heart for just a moment, they would never want to give you up. And so, Lord, we praise your Son. And Jesus, we want your name to be honored and you to be exalted and lifted up. We thank you for our salvation that you paid for by dying for us at the cross of Calvary. And Heavenly Father, we pray for Brother Ray as he comes in a few moments to share your word, that our hearts would be open and receptive to what you want us to hear and that we'll respond accordingly. We pray for our group from school as they come tonight and sing thank you for them and bless them. And Lord, the offering. And Lord, that's a time of worship where we're able to give back a portion of what you've given to us to help others in need. Now, Lord, we love you. We thank you. I thank you for my brothers, pastors in Christ, grown to love them and appreciate them. Bless their church and all the churches that are represented here tonight. And Jesus, we say these things, pray these things in your name and for your glory. Amen. God bless you.
Good evening. Certainly a blessing to be here this evening. The scripture reading tonight is found in Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, said the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.
Tim, I was impressed that you had that memorized. And surely there wasn't a screen back there, a teleprompter, nothing like that. No. Well, I tell you what, this is a great time for our alliance. When we get to see our churches come together in worship and to hear a message together, to be in community as a community of faith and a community of believers, and I'm part of what I think is probably one of the best ministerial alliances that there is. I've only been a part of a couple, but this is by far one of the most involved as far as with one another that I've been a part of, and the community that we have as brothers and as pastors is great, and to share a service together with our congregations is great as well. And so we're privileged to have that opportunity. It is my job to receive the offering this evening, and I don't even have this job in my church, so I'm not really good at it, right? So this is basically, I've always wanted this opportunity to basically say, stand up and grab the wallet of the person in front of you and give like you always wanted, right? That's I say that jokingly, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not a bad idea. But anyhow, I was just talking to Dennis a moment ago. In fact, he had an email about the least of these turkey drive that we did over the last few weeks. And I knew the need was for 900 families or $9,000. And I just asked him, hey, do you know how that turned out? And he just received an email today that $11,177 was given between our churches. The turkey drive was something that was initiated by Pastor Chad Mattingly about, what is it, 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. He just asked the other pastors, hey, can we work together on this? And here we are 3 years later and given almost or a little over $11,000 as a community of churches, and we're helping families in need with that. One of the things that we do with our offering every year, and this is the way basically our ability to help others is funded, is this one offering once a year. We do a couple things. One, we give a portion of this to least of these to continue their ministry and their service, and so we appreciate you for that. But a unique thing that the Minister Alliance does is we help those who are transients or who are passing through town to be on their way or to get on their way. And it's something that helps each of our churches to not bear that burden alone, but to bear that as a community, to help people and to be the love of Christ and the message of Christ to those who are passing through Nixa. And so your generosity here tonight speaks the love of Christ to somebody who, for whatever reason, has no means to get on their way. And we are, in the name of Jesus, able to love them, to give them a cup of cold water, maybe something to eat, maybe a bed to sleep in, or a bus ride somewhere else as they're passing through. And it is your generosity that makes that happen. And so we ask you to give generously, to give liberally, and to give faithfully to God. Would you pray with me as we pray over the offering? God, I pray for a spirit of generosity to be at work among your people. Lord, I praise you and I thank you for the testimony of the offering that was received for the turkeys this year. That just blows my mind and I'm sure pleases your heart. And God, I pray that we would be generous tonight as well as we give to enable more ministry to happen through least of these, as well as to touch the lives of those passing through. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you're being served, our chamber choir will take their place. And while they're taking their place, to avoid awkward silence, I'm just kidding, I forgot to mention something. We have another partner of our ministry called One Door, and some of you may have heard of One Door. One Door is a ministry that helps us as pastors to make sure that the resources from our churches are helping people that have been screened, the need has been determined, and we just want to make that service or that ministry available to you. I wish I had the number on my top of my head. Do you know what it is? It doesn't matter. You won't remember it if I told you. But it is at Nixa Nazarene. No, it isn't. Nixa Christian. It's right over there. Nixa Christian Church is where they hold their office, but it's not their ministry. It is a community ministry called One Door. And if you know of anybody that has a financial need, that's where you can send them first. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason Honeycutt, and you young people from our Nixa High School, your core group. I think they deserve another hand. They did a great job. Appreciate y'all very, very much. About 2 or 3 years ago, I received the quote that you find on the screen in front of you there. And as I looked at that quote, I kind of sat there silent for quite some time. If you'll notice what the quote says, "What if you woke up today with only the things you thank God for yesterday?" It was very humbling for me to read that quote. I sat there silent for a long time as I thought about, did I really thank God for the things of in my own personal life? And I'm reminded of that even as I stand here tonight, that it is the grace of God that I stand here this evening. I appreciate Tim reading our text to you tonight. And we find in our text, in the Gospel of Luke, the 17th chapter, and where this occasion is, I want you to understand what is taking place here. The Scripture tells us that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. What is striking about this would be Jesus' last trip to Jerusalem. He would not make another trip again to Jerusalem. And we all know what that last trip to Jerusalem meant. It would be where he would become that sacrificial lamb for the sins of the whole world. And what you find is that in this particular story, that you find Jesus comes and he is meeting 10 men who are all leopards. And you have to understand a little bit, and I'm sure you've read these scriptures before, that as these 10 lepers stood afar off, as Scripture tells us. You see, if you had leprosy, you were not in the camp. You were outside the camp. And you were never allowed to come inside the camp unless you went through the process of thinking or believing that you have been cured of your leprosy. And it was a long, drawn-out process, as the Old Testament book of Leviticus tells us, what a person who had leprosy and what they had to go through. And so these 10 men, as they hear the crowd and as they begin to believe that this one person that is among them has to be Jesus, they begin to cry out and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The word I want to draw your attention to is the word gratitude. The word gratitude simply implies it is the state of being grateful. It's not just saying a few words and kind of saying, "Well, I've done my duty." It's really an inward heart of how I and you feel about where you are in life right now. And I want you to consider with me as we think about this word gratitude as being the state of being grateful, being thankful, that I want you to consider three words with me in light of our text here. And that is, first of all, gratitude is about one's attitude. It is about your attitude and my attitude. And what we find here is that all 10 of these lepers in our text who were sharing in what was probably the most dreaded disease of all diseases, of leprosy, that these men were in misery. And so they cried out for mercy. And you've heard this saying, misery loves what? Company. I mean, these 10 men, the only thing they had in common is that they had leprosy. And being outside the camp, it was a common thing that you would find those who had leprosy would join up with someone else who was in the same condition that they were in. You find in the Old Testament four lepers. They were in that same condition of their leprosy. And what you find here in this text, that the Bible tells us that these men have cried out for mercy. I would ask you and I tonight this question, how many of us need mercy? I mean, do we need mercy? Oh, how much we need mercy. Because you see, when you and I came into this world, we were not born with the attitude of being grateful. You take a little child that's got a rattler in their hand and stick another child in the midst of that other one that's got the rattler. And that child that's got the rattler starts to put the rattler in its mouth and the other one says, I'll take that and take it away. What's yours is mine. And what you find here is that these 10 men all had leprosy. I'm always reluctant about showing images of things of this nature. But if you've ever seen anyone that has had leprosy, which we don't even have any idea of that in this country. But I have been to some foreign countries and I have seen other diseases and things of that nature. But probably the issue of leprosy, it was always considered to be a death upon the person that had leprosy. In fact, you will not find any place in Scripture outside of a miracle where a person who had leprosy and they thought that they were clean now had gone to a priest and been pronounced that they were clean. In fact, you'll notice with me as the Scripture tells us here that as these men here, as they lifted up their voices, and Jesus said, they said to them, that Lord, would you have mercy on us? And the Bible tells us, I find it very unique as these 10 men are crying out for mercy, that Jesus didn't say, be clean, did he? He just told them to go and show themselves to the priest. And so what we find here is that these men are crying out for mercy. And as we acknowledge here tonight, every single one of us needs mercy. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10 that there is none righteous, no, not one. It also says in verse 12 that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And so we find that gratitude is about our attitude that we have. I love to read quotes and statements, and you will notice on the screen that gratitude about our attitude. I thought this was a good one here, that some people are always grumbling because roses have no thorns. The response of that is, I'm thankful that thorns have roses. Just this past week, I purchased some roses for someone who had a birthday. And I picked up the roses and I soon found out that there was thorns in those stems. But you know what? My attention was on the roses and the beauty of those roses. I'm also grateful as I think about this attitude here. It is not happy people who are thankful, but it is thankful people who are happy. How many of us would agree that happiness is not based on what's happening around your world and in your life? I think about the people in the Philippines and the devastation there, some of our missionaries that are there, 80 of their churches were either destroyed or had damage, not counting the people of those churches. I think about the Syrian refugees. I read where 5 million Syrian refugees alone inside of Syria are displaced from their homes. 1 million of those refugees have come across the border into Lebanon. And just as we did the Turkey thing fundraising here, we participated in a project which $180 would provide a tent and some clothing and blankets for a family. $180. And so as you think about the matter of being happy, it's not dependent on what's going on around our world, what's going on in your own personal life. You're very acquainted with the disciples that I thought about the disciples, and you've read about the disciples in the gospel, how that there were occasions how they grumbled about wondering who was going to have a certain position in the place of where they were, not even being thankful by the fact that they were a disciple. And so the attitude of gratitude in this case is about that in our own personal life. And then I want you to consider another word with me, and that is gratitude is about one's action. The Bible tells us, as you note there in Luke 17:14, as they went, it says they were what? Everybody cleansed. Can you imagine the dramatic impact that had to make on those 10 men? Can you imagine they Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they went, all of a sudden, they are completely cleansed of their leprosy. That is an amazing thing, isn't it? Especially when you don't have anywhere in Scripture where one who had leprosy had gone to the priest and been declared clean. And I think about this word action, that gratitude is thankfulness. It is expressed in action. I want you to think about the quote that you see there. I read and I thought was here. It says, a good life. And can I just interject this? It doesn't say a perfect life. But it says a good life is when you assume nothing. When you assume nothing, you do more, you need less, you smile often, dream big, laugh a lot, and realize how blessed you are. We are truly blessed. We are truly blessed. As you think about your life and my, as I think about my life, how often we just assume things, don't we? We all assume when we leave this place tonight, you'll go to an automobile, it'll start up, you'll drive to your home, the lights will be able to work, you'll have a nice warm house, you'll go to bed, and you assume you will get up in the morning. You assume that the sun will come up and you will see the light of day. You see, we should not just assume things, but we in our life and ever more in our life, that we should always be in this gratitude, that there should be action, that we should always be doing more when we realize I don't need as much as I think I need to have. And whenever we smile often and dream big and laugh a lot and then just really realize how really blessed we are, how we are so blessed as a people. I subdrive a bus route for the Nixon schools. And it was just yesterday I had another man who's being trained to drive a school bus. And I introduced myself to him, and he introduced himself to me, and I asked him where he was from. He said he had moved here from Kansas and had lived here about 20 years. And I said, well, tell me about your life, and tell me about your wife, and told me about his wife. And then he told me that the last 2 years have been really tough. And I said, well, what's been the problem? He said, my wife, who has always been very active, always involved in everything, she has been bedridden for the last 2 years. But you know what I appreciate about his conversation? He was not down in the mouth. This is what he said to me. He said, we have hope. He said, we believe that she is going to get better. I thought, what an attitude. Praise God. I mean, he was not grumbling. He was not griping. He was not complaining. And yet, he had hope that his wife's health was going to improve. You know, folks, that's the attitude that we should have. I'm reminded of Naaman, who was the Syrian king. And he had leprosy. Can you imagine being king and having leprosy? And he was wishing that his leprosy would be gone. And he had the maid, and the maid told him, he said, you know, there is a prophet. Thank God for prophets. His name is Elijah. And he said, well, hey, maybe he can do something for me. And so Elijah sent the word, go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times. Can you imagine the king? He was despondent. He was discouraged. And the maid said, well, what's the problem? He said, well, I thought he would just say a few words over me and I would be clean. You know, the point was, you know what? It says, is it difficult, too difficult to go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan? Now, I want you to know, I've seen the Jordan. It's not sprung fed. It's very dirty. You wouldn't drink the water. But I would ask you this question, if you or I had leprosy and God told you to go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times, would we complain? And so we find here that the gratitude is about an action that we take in our life. And as you notice what the Bible says, as I read on here, is these 10 lepers. The Bible says that it tells us, as Jesus told them, to go show themselves to the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. Notice what verse 15 and 16 says. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back with a loud voice and glorified God. This is the last word I want you to think about. Gratitude is not only about one's attitude. It is also the gratitude of one's action. And it's also gratitude is one's acceptance of what God is doing and has done in a person's life. I want you to know what is happening here. And the Bible tells us, as this man came and he glorified God with his voice, and it says that he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And Luke tells us he was a Samaritan. I don't want to read anything into Scripture that is not there. But is it possible that when these 10 realized that they were cleansed, the other 9, who were probably Jews, seeing this one man also that has been cleansed, the Scripture says he was a Samaritan. Luke wanted us to know, God wanted us to know, that this man who was a Samaritan is the only one that returned to give thanks and to glorify God, the Son of God. You see, the Bible tells us, in fact, you know the conversation that Jesus had in John chapter 4 with the woman who was a Samaritan. And whenever the woman got to the well, she was shocked that a Jew, in this case, would be there at the well. And you know, the story goes on. And finally, we find those words as this woman speaks to Jesus and says, "Do you not know, sir? Don't you understand that the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans?" You see, gratitude is about accepting the person that's sitting next to you right now. It's about accepting your mate. It's about accepting your children. It's about accepting your parents. It's about accepting the people that you work with. It's about the people that sit in services like this. And as you think about this dealings here, I wonder, as the scripture tells us, I wonder if those other nine had made up their mind that we would not have anything to do with this one Samaritan. I want you to look at this with me. The Bible says, when he saw he was cleansed, that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face, at his feet, giving him thanks. Do you think his attitude is good? Do you see the action here? And most certainly, he's accepting the one that only told him to go show himself to the priest. And I want you to notice what we find here as you look at verse 17. "And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? He says in verse 18, "There are not found that return," notice, "to give glory to God, save the stranger." The word stranger implies alien. It means that he was all alone. And as we find here in this verse, he tells him in verse 19 about this idea of our gratitude. He says to him, as he's told him to arise and go thy way in verse 19, what does he say? "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Thy faith hath made thee whole. The Samaritan, the stranger, this alien, his faith has made him whole. You know, I don't know if there are people here tonight, but we all understand maybe some of the light of leprosy, that we would compare that to cancer. And we know that there's all different kinds of cancer. But you know, every one of us would say and agree upon this, it doesn't matter what kind of cancer it is, it's still cancer. But you know, the remarkable thing is that this man, as Jesus described him, this lone stranger, and as his faith has been made whole, I just wonder what his next day was like. I wonder if you would might consider with me, as Jesus said, "Go thy way." I wonder if he followed Jesus into Jerusalem. I wonder if it's possible that he was there that particular week. And as I wonder if possible that off in the distance, that this cleansed leopard, this Samaritan, off in the distance, could see a hill called Golgotha, the place of a skull. And I would wonder if he was looking upon this one who has not only given him life in regard to health, but more importantly, he's given him the real meaning of life now. Amen. The real meaning of life. Because you and I need to understand, I am grateful today that whenever in our world right now that we're living in, you cannot turn on the news without hearing something about race. I can tell you this, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. The ground is level. I want you to think with me as I close. I want you to think with me about that question, what if you woke up today with only the things you thanked God for yesterday? And if you're here tonight and there was a point in time in your life when you realized it was not about a religion, but it was about a relationship that you can have with the one, as possibly the Samaritan looked at the very face of the one that spoke to him and took the time with him and said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." I wonder tonight, has our attitude been such that others who need God's mercy, have they seen our gratitude of God showing us mercy? The lost world that is out there, the world that so desperately needs Christ. This week, we have remembered the 50th anniversary of the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. And I saw this quote, I thought, how this fits this Samaritan, this stranger. It says, as we express our gratitude, we must never forget that the highest appreciation is not to utter words, but to live by them. You know, words can be pretty shallow, can they not? And I want to ask you tonight, as I think about just those words, when it says, and one of them. You see, every single one of us here tonight, as you think about the 10, we fit into one of those two groups, don't we? The question is, would we be among the 9, or would we be that one lone stranger who God is so blessed in his life that he would come back to the one who just said, "Go show yourself to the priest," and he realized he'd been cleansed. And here he is, the Lord understanding and seeing this man, expressing and praising God, that he would tell him, "Go your way. Your faith has made you whole." I want to ask you to stand with me, please. And I want to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment. I'm going to invite you just for a moment. I'm going to pray. And I would ask you and give you the opportunity that you might, if those pastors that are here tonight would just be down front here, if you would like to come and just say, "I want to be one of them. I want to be that one who has a heart of gratitude. I want to be that one who demonstrates or shows action. I want to be that one who shows appreciation for the one who accepted you, Jesus Christ, when he died for you." That you would be that one, and that you, when you leave tonight, and if the Lord gives us all the light of day tomorrow, that it would be a heart of genuine, not just words, but we would be that person that would live out that spirit of gratitude. Heavenly Father, I ask you as we take a few moments here, for these people, dear Lord, as I realize I stand before a group of people, and dear Lord, I pray that above all things, dear Lord, that we understand it's not about a label, it's not about a religion, but Lord, it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lord, can I say thank you for showing mercy on Ray Brinson? Thank you, dear Lord, that you would die on my behalf, that you would take my sin upon yourself and become my substitute, my sacrifice for me. And God, I pray this evening that, dear Lord, that the things that we have said has struck a heart chord tonight. Lord, we have a lot to be grateful for, Nixa. Lord, we have a lot to be grateful for in this country. God, forgive me of my ingratitude. Lord, have your way as people maybe make their way to pray with a pastor, to pray alone, whatever it might be, that they will be determined to be that one who gives God the glory and the praise for what he's done in their life. In Jesus' name. Why don't we just take for a few moments to you make an altar wherever you like to do so, or come to one of these pastors and pray and give you that opportunity.
In humble adoration, I kneel before your throne. In brokenness, I seek your face alone. Above you, there's no other who's able to restore my soul. Come and make me from my pride.
On behalf of the congregation of Nixa Church of the Nazarene, let me say that it has been an honor to host you. And so thank you for coming. On behalf of the Nixa Ministerial Alliance, thanks for coming and supporting. I hold in this bag blessings. Blessings that you receive from God, and out of your heart of love and with your sacrifice, you have given in the faith and the hope and the belief that indeed God will take this and make it a blessing to others in the coming year. I assure you that that trust will be followed through on, and it will be earned. And just like the loaves and the fishes, God will take what is in this bag, which is now at completion over $700 on this night, and he will use it to make it much more than that. Would you stand with me this evening? May the grace of the Almighty God fill your soul. May his love spill out of your lives into the lives of those whom you come in contact with. Over this Thanksgiving weekend, may you enjoy the fellowship of wonderful family, good friends, and may you be Jesus and God with skin on to somebody who is in need and needs to see him as he is. May God bless the community of Nixa and the churches that make it up. May we lift him up that he may draw all men into himself. Go in his grace and his mercy and his love, and be thankful.